Welcome back to another episode of the Mimosas with Moms podcast. I'm your host, Abby Williams. I hope you all are staying safe and healthy out there. This corona stuff I know is very anxiety-inducing right now. Here in Ohio, they have closed our schools for the next 3 weeks. So all the prayers, positive vibes, whatever you do is very much welcomed at this time, as I'm home with the four littles for the next 3 weeks. It's not really being at home with them that has me stressed out or bothered. You know, I enjoy being at home with my kids. It's that we can't get out and do anything, the social distancing that has me a little panicked. I know that there are still just so many things that we can do, though. You know, we can get out and we can take a walk. We can take a hike. We can ride our bikes. We can go outside and play with chalk or, you know, whatever you can do around your house to get outside still. Get your body moving. We do Cosmic Kids Yoga. It's on YouTube. It's free. That's really fun. Finding some arts and crafts to do. I'm going to try and stay on top of Oliver's schoolwork. They sent home the next 3 weeks worth of work. So hopefully I can do third grade math. Thoughts and prayers for that as well. And, you know, we will get through this. But it is, it's anxiety inducing. It's scary. You know, I just think that like the unknown and then the media kind of hypes it up. But you know, we get through everything else as mothers. We will get through this as well. So be following along on Instagram. I'll be sharing as much resources and tricks and tips, different accounts to be following along that are helpful. So make sure that you're plugged in to my social media. And I will be sharing all of that stuff with you guys. And with that being said, to continue our advocacy here on the podcast and incorporating important episodes throughout the year, March is Multiple Sclerosis Awareness Month. So I am so excited to be welcoming my friend Heather today. She is better known as Mom and Buried over on Instagram. You might know her for her sarcasm, her wit, her mom humor, and her soft and sentimental posts. She's also a writer for online publications such as Today.com, Prevention, and Red Tricycle. She writes a lot about being a mom with MS and just different parenting highs and lows. So make sure that you're following along with her over on Instagram at Mom and Buried. And let's get started. Cheers. So welcome, Heather. It is so nice to finally be connecting with you. Heather and I have been friends on Instagram for some time, about a year, right?
Yeah, no, I think it's been a year. So it's so fun to finally like talk to you.
I know. So Heather, kind of tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Well, I'm known on Instagram as Mom and Buried. I have my counterpart, Dad and Buried, who started this actually like 10 years ago. He started like a blog and then got really big on Facebook and then Instagram. And so he's been doing this a while. He's one of the OGs of parenting, I think, bloggers or influencers. And so then just a year and a half ago, I kind of got lured into it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, now I'm the other half. Some might say better half. And it's fun to have a little bit of both of us out there now, I think.
I think so too, because you guys have very different personalities on Instagram.
In real life, actually, in some regards. So we have some
things. You guys are both like sarcastic and funny, but on Mom and Barry's account, you'll see some of like the more sweet and sentimental. Yes. Dad of Barry likes to ruffle feathers.
Oh, yes. He's a feather ruffler. But at the same time, then he'll post something that's kind of sweet.
And,
And those people get to see gems, that sweet though. Side.
I know.
There's some gems, and I think they get a lot of love because it's a rare peek you get to get into it. But over on my page, I think it's a little bit more balanced. But I do think it's fun because you don't have as much of the male-female perspective, right? And we also talk about our married life in not always fantastic, glowing terms, because marriage is hard. So it's been really fun, and I get to meet awesome people like you. So thanks for having me on.
Yeah, and I really like following along your guys' stories, like when you guys go on trips and stuff together, and you guys are bantering and bickering, and it is a real and raw peek into your life.
Being honest, I know we probably need more of a filter for the camera. But at the same time, you know, honestly, stories are my favorite part. I wish they had a bigger platform on Instagram, because
I think so too.
I could do that all day, right? Like actually just show stories of my life. And that's also what I like to see. Like I love seeing other people's lives.
You should be a YouTuber.
I guess that seems like too much.
A lot of work.
That seems like a lot. This is all I got. Yeah, if I can do it in like a few seconds on my phone, I'm in.
Yeah,
but I can't commit to a setup.
The YouTuber is like a whole like job, I think.
Oh yeah, I've met some, and it's just like. Plus, also, is it just me? Like, I know there's this whole world of like parenting YouTube, but like YouTube is where my kid watches other kids play with toys, so I can like shop at the grocery store. That's all I know YouTube to be.
That's true. That's what my toddlers use YouTube for as well.
That's my use.
Which I think is like the weirdest thing.
I know.
I'm like watching other kids play with toys.
And they're like, there's this like Ryan kid who made like $1 million last year or something. And I'm like, you can play with toys in front of a camera. Like, let's sign you up. Let's do this.
Yes, because you kids are expensive.
You are expensive. Yeah. Let's exploit you. No, I'm teasing.
Exactly.
But it's ridiculous. They like weird stuff.
They really
I'm
do.
Sure people thought that about us when we were little, but we didn't watch other people play with things. I don't know. At any rate, that's a complete digression.
Yeah, totally. So Heather, I'm excited to have you on because March is MS Awareness Month. So I'm really excited to have you on because you are a mother living with multiple sclerosis.
Yes. And from here on out, we can call it MS because it is a mouthful. You know, even my kid the other day is like, what is a sclerosis? And I'm like, which is cool that it, you know, at 9, he's starting to think about this and get it. Yeah. Whereas like when he's little, it's just like, I don't know, she's got that thing, whatever. But that is, to me, actually, I guess, a good way to launch into MS. And even one reason I joined the Gram and the whole, like, you know, parenting web thing is that, so I was diagnosed with MS just 6 months after having my son. In fact, I was being treated to some degree when I was pregnant. We pretty much saw it on the horizon, but when you're pregnant, they can't, you know, you can't get an MRI, you can't be tested, da da da. And MS is really hard to diagnose, like, especially, I won't get too much into the nitty gritty, but if you don't, for instance, show like sclerosis or lesions on your brain in an MRI, then a lot of doctors, and doctors certainly did this to me, like, will be like, oh, we don't have it, move along with your life. But it also can be in your spine. So for me, it required like a spinal tap, recovered. It's just really hard. And a lot of people, I think, whether they're dealing with MS or they're struggling with anything, it's hard to even get that diagnosis. And then it's this weird thing where it's like, of course you don't want a chronic disease that's going to follow you your whole life, but there's almost this relief of like, oh my God, I have a name to it now. And now I can have a plan to it. And so anyway, being able to talk about things like that is one reason that I wanted to kind of talk about. And I know it's a personal choice, but some people wouldn't reveal their chronic illness or anything if they had a social media presence. But for me, I just think it's a very misunderstood disease. It's lumped in this category called invisible diseases. And that's a really hard thing to live with, I think, because you can be hurting just as much as someone next to you in a wheelchair or in something that's identifiable, or someone who's clearly going through chemo or something like that. But people don't know. And there's so many of these diseases like that. And if I can just spread any awareness for people living like that and who look fine, as you'll often hear, or even for some people that'll be like, oh, they're faking it because they can't point to something on you to say that's where the pain is.
Right.
I just feel like it's too important not to talk about things like MS and other diseases that maybe are, you know, not as obvious to the eye.
Yeah. So kind of tell us about, like, what are some of the signs and symptoms of MS?
One of the early signs tends to be like numbness, tingling. Yeah. So like, I mean, the first thing I noticed was just honestly as simple as you might experience if, you know, your foot fell asleep.
Right.
But it was happening with no pressure or reason to, right? Like, so I'd just be laying in bed and all of a sudden, you know, I'd feel a tingle or a sensation and it went all the way from my toe up to my leg. It would start moving. Yeah. And so that's what I was noticing and like weakness on one side and stuff like that. So it was fairly subtle for me, which is actually a rarity with MS. My sister actually has MS.
Yeah.
And she was diagnosed several years before. And with her, which is much more likely what happens, is like, she just started falling down. Like these dramatic things were happening that led her to go to like an ER over a holiday weekend where they were like, we can't diagnose you, but you have MS, right? Because it's a holiday, it's an ER. It's great.
Yeah.
But it's like so boom and it's obvious. So I think a lot of people deal with that. For me, it was more of a slow progression. And, you know, some of the people who have it and it immediately happens, like they can go back to not having simple symptoms or at least there's always what's like, what's your baseline is a question my neurologist will ask, which it's like, do you feel normal today? And I'm like, no, I haven't felt normal in like 10 years, but you know, you have a baseline, which unfortunately continues to grow over time, even with, in my case, disease modifying drugs. Like there's still progression. It's a chronic disease. MS, what it is that it's what it really is your immune system is attacking your nervous system. So, I mean, even little things like, you know, I get tons of colds in the winter and stuff, which is, I'm sure, partially because of MS and a proven crap immune system. but also because, you know, a lot, I'm on a immunodepressant drug. So it's already suppressing my immune system. So it's not working as good as it would have anyway. So just anything can kind of alter it and can create new symptoms, even if it's just for a little bit. I live in New York and seriously lately, I'm like, why do I live here? Like in summer, it's too hot. In winter, it's too cold and wet. And it's just like, I mean, my doctor literally at my
house. And it's probably way germier.
Probably. I don't know. Yeah, you're right. I mean, my children, my children would lick the subway walls if they could, you know, so having a toddler doesn't help. Yeah. They're little germ mongers. And then they come and like full mouth breathe into your face. So that probably isn't helping anyone, but, at any rate, we love New York. We love the city, but yeah, it's just other things. And it's so different for everyone, which is another reason why I think people have a hard time understanding it as well. Like, you know, for me, I can only speak to me particularly. I mean, I first had just numbness and weakness on one side. And then muscle pain will happen because of just the pressure being put on the muscles and like the nervous system. So like, pain and muscle fatigue. Cause if you think of all those nerves running through your muscles, like there's what's being attacked and they're clenching up. So it'll cause like muscle spasms and just a lot of muscle tension and spasms and like muscle twitching is probably the most recent thing I've had, like in my mind, a progression. And it's maybe my least favorite, honestly. But spasticity is something that a lot of people deal with. And then other people deal with like ocular issues with like they'll have like these bounces of sort of like blacking out of their. So it can be so different for everyone. But for me, that's what it means. And the one calling card that everyone gets is fatigue, like intense fatigue. And moms already get that anyway. So it's kind of a double whammy some days where it's
Well,
like,
like, how hard was it to really like pinpoint and diagnose, I guess, like your illness when it came on during your pregnancy? So, well, you know, like you're explaining some of these, you know, like the tingling or muscle stuff. And it's like, yeah, but sometimes that's just normal in pregnancy. So how were they able to kind of differentiate?
Well, a little bit, like I was experiencing some of this stuff before, and I had already went to a doctor, a really crappy doctor, a neurologist, and ran all this litany of tests and da da da. And he's just like, I can't find anything wrong, whatever. And he was honestly just kind of a jerk. And he was like, you just want me to tell you you have multiple sclerosis. I'm like, I don't want that. Who would want that? You're insane.
Yeah, really.
But I have a sister, right? Which A makes me 50% more likely. Mm-hmm. And all these things were happening. So in that time, I went to find a better doctor. And by then, I think I was pregnant, but he was much more understanding and listening and, you know, very supportive throughout the pregnancy, but also like, obviously, we can't do anything with you. We can't take an MRI. We can't do anything.
Right.
And then, you know, but he was amazing. He's still my doctor. When I moved to North Carolina for a year and a half, I kept this doctor. I would come back to visit him. And at that time, that was okay, the amount of times I would see him a year. Because, you know, even early on, when he couldn't get a diagnosis, I remember having this conversation. And my doctor saying to my husband, actually, my dad and buried, like, if it was my wife, I would get her on disease modifying drugs. Because it was like so early on that they're like, it's not like you totally need it, but why wouldn't you start? Because in the case of MS, there's no cure, obviously. And they can't fix anything that's happened. Any attacks on the nervous system that have deadened the nerves, basically, or what it does is it takes the protective covering off your nerve. So think of like wiring through a house without insulation. Like that's kind of what you're dealing with in your body. You know, you can't fix that. So it's like, how can we stop future attacks so you don't get more of it? So, you know, I did start early on. I tried several things, but, you know, I was on Copaxone for years, which is a daily injection. And it sucks to have like a daily injection every day that you and your husband have to do. And that your kid, who was then like three or four, had to see and be like, why does mommy get a shot every day?
Yeah.
And over time, I've gotten to a place where recently I actually do, for those in the know or wondering, I do Ocrevus, which is just, you do it twice a year, you go to the doctor, and it's, I think it's good. How do you know, right? Where's the,
right.
You know, I do like that it's not every day and a million other things about it, but all you can do is try your best and hope for the best.
So when you were like going through the injection time, when you were, how did you, I guess, explain that to your son?
Well, at that time he was younger, right? And I mean, I guess he was like 4 or 5 when I was still taking it. And I mean, it that age is, some of it's a little easy, like, oh, mommy takes this shot to make her feel better. You know, and my son hates shots to this day. You know, but that's what we would tell him when he would have to go to his annual appointment, and say, we would say like, oh, will you take this to make sure you don't get sick and to keep you safe and keep you healthy or whatever. And so that was kind of easy at that time. As time has went on, it's been more difficult for me to explain symptoms. And honestly, as a mom, we all know like the mom guilt, and how you can blame yourself for a million things. And I, for one, have always been the person ever since, I mean, I was little, that I always want to go, go, go and do. Like my weekends, you know, my husband says like I'm a cruise director, basically, the minute not even just on trips, like on the weekend. I'm like, all right, Saturday we're doing this, Sunday we're doing this. And in the
I am
last,
that same kind of personality.
Okay, good. Yeah, right. And yeah, so even this weekend we went away, Dad and Barry's like giving me crap. He's like, oh my gosh, you're so uptight. But then he'll even admit, like, and he was doing this on his channel.
But then it's more fun.
It's more fun because you do all this. Like, don't stress out. But also it's so much better because you made these things happen. So, you know, you benefit. Okay, buddy.
Like, I feel anyway, like parenting is better, like, when my kids are go, 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 though.
Oh my gosh.
It's like when we're all like stuck in the house, like sitting, they're unraveling, they're fighting with each other, and I'm like pulling my hair out.
1,000,000%. Like my husband, even my 9-year-old loves a lazy Sunday. Oh, it's going to be a lazy day. And frankly, they get lazy days usually when my body tells me I have to rest. That's when I go along with lazy days. And so they've had more of them lately and they think it's so great. But by 3 o'clock, everyone is miserable. Like, even Dad Barry, who's like, I'm going to sit here, I'm going to watch football, I'm going to have a beer. He's just like, oh my God.
Like, you need fresh air.
People need to get out of here. You know, and we actually live in like a duplex in New York. So in New York City, that's freaking huge. We just lucked into it. We actually live in Brooklyn. But it's huge, but it's tiny compared to, I'm sure, most of the people listening, their houses are somewhere that are probably at least twice the size. And my kids still, you know, and there's no big backyard. There's a spot of grass. But unless I basically, you know, wrangle them into a circle and just make them run, not a lot's happening out there. So but yes, so the lazy days are hard. And one of my struggles and frankly, I guess, accomplishments in the last couple of years is being okay with the fact that some days are going to be like that. And, you know, usually one day of the weekend, instead of it being nonstop, go, 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 like I pretty much need to rest. And so this is where I guess the mom guilt, and as I say, the MS guilt that's layered on top of that is a struggle for me, because especially the hardest thing for me to describe is not the illness. My kid's really starting to get it and ask questions. He's 9 now. And I like that, you know, and but sometimes it's like, oh, you know, you feel horrible when you literally don't even want to get out of bed, you know, to go do something with your kids, or you have to cancel something for your kids. And it's because of this crap disease you got. And, you know, sometimes he's like, I don't know. I don't think he blames me. Like, he's never like, oh, mom, you're so lazy. He never says something like that. He'll just be like, he'll get angry. You know, he'll get angry that I get sick. I hate that you're sick. I hate that you feel bad. He's gotten a little bit more just empathetic, where he's like, oh, I hate mommy feels bad. And when his toddler brother is jumping all over me, he'll be like, get off her. Like, you know, and protective. And so, I mean, there are, I think, in this weird roundabout way, benefits of having a kid who has to live with this. And like, you know,
I kind of feel like that kind of goes into a lot of our guilt. You know, I think that as moms, we all struggle with guilt. And I'm sure moms that are also struggling with a chronic illness or, you know, whatever your thing is, there are all these like very powerful teaching moments in our guilt and the things that we feel guilty about, you know. So while you can't get out of bed, your child is developing this empathy for others, you know, where he's going to go out into the world and hopefully be a compassionate person who, you know, can look at people who are having a bad day and be like, yeah, but, you know, you never know what they're struggling with, because my mom struggled with something that you couldn't see.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like, how cool is that kind of that?
No, I definitely.
Like, that maybe if like we raise this next generation, we can have like a kinder upbringing of people.
Yes. I mean, wouldn't that be amazing? And I definitely do see some of that. Like, you know, I don't think in our generation, one, there was less disease and chronic illness and stuff. There really was, when you talk about chronic illness, when you talk about things with depression and stuff, I think it just wasn't being diagnosed, which is unfortunate. And now we have more of awareness of like, you know, that's not just, you know, I actually have anxiety and stuff, and Depression yeah. is often closely linked to having a chronic illness. I'm sure right. you guys can imagine that, like, when you're dealing with this and fighting your body every day, you get angry, you get sad, you can deal with yeah. all of that stuff. And I will say that another thing, you know, even just my son, he also goes to a school that has a lot of kids with IEPs in it and stuff. Yeah. And, you know, like, there'll be a kid who, like, really acts up and stuff. And he's trying to tell me the story. And instead of saying, like, oh, this is a bad kid or whatever, like, he's describing, he's like, well, he's having a hard time, you know?
I and love I just,
that just, like, makes my heart so happy that yeah. he identifies that it's not him just being, you know, this huge jerk child, but, like, he's struggling with something too, you know?
Right.
I think that that's this weird roundabout advantage to it, even when you feel bad that, like, you know, you can't do A or B. And I mean, I know all moms, I would feel guilt if I didn't have this.
I know.
We would all, you know, we're all going to feel that way anyway. And I think all you can do is, like, give yourself kindness and forgiveness and understand that, like, whether you have MS or not, like, sometimes you need a break, you need rest.
Yeah.
And that's okay. And you just have to listen to your body and yourself and take care of yourself. And it's definitely something I've struggled at, but I also think I'm getting better at it. So, I mean, ask me tomorrow and I might say completely different things.
But that's motherhood also. You know what I mean? I'm like, some days we're rocking it and some days it's just a complete dumpster fire. And some days it's somewhere in between. And I don't know.
I don't know. You take the wins where you get
them.
You
know, I'm like, that's motherhood. That's life. You know, whatever you're, like, struggling with. It's hard.
It is.
It's hard. And we all just need to, like, be kind to ourselves and kind to others. And I don't know. Hope for the best, right?
I mean, right now, you know, you're balancing a baby, a newborn, and doing this podcast. I mean, that's amazing. That's a win, right? Like,
it's hard, though.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, and it's hard, I feel like, as a new mom again. You know, you have, like, the mom guilt of bringing in another baby and taking away time from the other ones. And, you know, so I'm like, this mom guilt, it's so layered. It's so all over the place. But then I look at, you know, things in my home and how, you know, when I have to put down the baby to make a lunch, somebody else goes over to the baby and pats on him and loves on him. And you're like, you know, so while I feel guilty putting down the baby, I'm allowing these opportunities for bonding and love to happen. And absolutely. I think that that's, like, so powerful and intertwined in all different areas of parenting. And I think that, you know, moms that are struggling with chronic illness or mental health issues or these invisible illnesses, you know, I think it's very powerful.
Well, you know, and we all do. And I think that's great. And I'm sure that, like, your kids sometimes feel jealousy. I mean, even yeah. my baby has been in the world for, like, 4 years now. And my older kid still's like, ugh, sometimes. Like, why'd you bring this kid here?
Right.
Who asked for this guy? But, right. Yeah, there's also so much they get from that. And I think that's great. So I don't know. Being a mom is hard, but it's also pretty worth it usually.
Yeah. So Heather, kind of tell us a little bit about, I guess, on days that you are struggling, how do you manage the kids then? Or, like, some tips or tricks that you can give to other MS mamas.
Well, or chronic illness mamas, because yeah.
they all kind of, anyone who
is waking up every day and thinking, like, is today going to be for me or against me? Because, like, yeah. right, you were talking about days you feel like you're winning and days you feel like you're losing. And when someone is suffering with an illness that their body is fighting, you know, some days you don't have a say in how it's going to go, right? Like, it's
right.
and it sucks to wake up and be, like, at the beck and call or whatever. I'm not sure. But your body is controlling you a little bit. Like, of yeah. course you do everything you can to take the best care of yourself. But even that's, like, gray area, right? Like, trying to balance a life with because some people try like actually with MS, I know very intense diets and stuff. Mm-hmm. I've tried that with not much luck or really rigorous. I think you find what works for you. And some people do nothing. And I feel like I found a middle ground.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm most comfortable. Like, so you do what you can, but then some days, yes, you wake up and your body's just against you anyway. And so as to say tips, when it comes to parenting, I now have a 4 and a 9-year-old. It is so much easier than when I had, especially like a younger toddler. And I mean, frankly, I'm not afraid to give my kid the TV show or too many hours of screen time. It's probably not the picture perfect answer you're looking for, but I save those moments for when I really need them. And frankly, I think that should go for all parenting. I mean, if you feel any screen time guilt, like use it when you need it, right?
I totally agree.
You hoard that stuff.
Yep.
And then you unleash it as needed, even if it's just to make dinner or sit in another room and have a glass of wine or just take a break.
Yeah.
That's where I use that. And then, you know, sometimes like when it's a really hard day, and this is one of the benefits I think about talking about MS or having a chronic illness on my social media channels is some people found me because I've written articles and stuff about it, or I've just talked about it and they've like, oh my gosh, me too. And so sometimes I'll get these great DMs where I think, you know, people will thank me for talking about it, which I think is amazing. Yeah. But I also get a benefit too, because sometimes, like for instance, I was sick a week or two ago, like again, with just a cold, but that makes your whole immune system act up and your body's, so on top of the cold, you now have like MS pain. And I mean, I just was like pretty much laying around for 2 days. I was in pajamas. Yeah. I was borderline useless. Dad and Barry was awesome. He worked from home and like helped out and stuff. And so that was good. And then you feel guilt and someone DMs me just at the moment that I, you know, don't necessarily know I need it. And she was like, my bed right now, it's like we live here. And I look down at my bed and there are toys and Legos and juice packets and just everything, because it becomes this little island for that day or two.
Yeah.
And then I felt so appreciative too of having that link and being able to say, oh my God, me too. And making each other feel better, because, you know, just to be seen in a world that like your life is invisible illness, and to know other people are going through it, or even just hear someone being like, oh my gosh, this cold, wet weather has made my spasms act up. And I'm like, oh, me too. It's not just me too. It's nice to not feel alone.
Yeah.
And the whole reason I talk about it and try to bring exposure to it is A, for other people to know, but for anyone else going through those things, like I know the comfort I feel from hearing that it's not just me. And even just someone saying something that's happening to me right now. And just in that moment, identifying like, oh my gosh, me too. And, you know, a lot of people probably can't relate to that necessarily. They haven't lived that. And, that is a real upside, you know, to this crazy technology and internet, which has all its downsides, but to be able to connect to people you would otherwise never be able to connect with. I mean, even just you,
right?
You know, you're halfway across the country. We wouldn't get to connect, and yet here we get to do this, and you get to bring so many moms and different perspectives to people's living rooms. And that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of fun. I very much enjoy like this platform and like our mom community that we've kind of all fallen into on Instagram.
Yeah.
Do you feel like your platform though isn't all just moms with chronic illnesses? It's a lot of everything. It's a lot of humor. It's a lot of sarcasm. Do you feel like that's kind of your escape at times?
Maybe. It's really funny. So really funny backstory to this. So Dad and Barry was doing this for years.
Yeah.
And I was
how did he get into this?
Well,
we have to have Dad and Barry on here.
You do. But like, so he got into this because he's a writer. In fact, little fun thing, before blogs were a thing, was something called is an e-zine. There was an e-zine, I believe we called it.
Yeah.
Or writer community. And we both wrote columns, like monthly columns on this website, which is now defunct. So you can't find all those wonderful musings from when I was a 20-year-old hopping around LA, getting drunk and being whatever.
Yeah.
But that's how we met. And so we were both kind of writers at heart. And then I think when he started having kids, and literally his blog, I think like the catch line was like the birth of my children and the death of my social life. Like, just because we've been these city people it was a 1,000,000% what happened. Yeah. And we're these city people. We've been out and about and we love doing things. And then it's like, and now we're going to have a kid. So let's see how that goes. And so we started writing about it from when I was even like pregnant. And then people really started following him. He definitely has more moms than dads following him, but I think part of it is, you know, less dads are on Instagram, although that's been growing, which I think is really cool. But, and I will have to say he has a podcast now, and it's him and another dad, like just shooting the shit and bitching about their children.
Yeah.
And, I think even more dads like that. I think the moms do too, because it's a nice way to be like, oh, wow, I'm not the only one who's slightly a jerk sometimes.
I love the Dad and Buried podcast.
So he does that now. But it's grown all out of this community, and I think people like seeing that side of things. And so I used to, though, give him crap for being on his phone. Yeah. And I still do, because he's worse than me. But I started this, I was like, oh, this is kind of like a job. Like, it's this whole job.
It's a lot of work.
So he got to be like, ha ha, I told you. Because I think it's a great community that's been built for people. And I mean, especially as I have more children and they get older and you just get kind of entrenched in their lives. Sometimes you don't really feel like you have much of a life. And yet there's this place that you can go and feel like other people are going through it with you, even if it's just virtually. And I mean, I do think that's what I like about it. And that's where I think you touched on and is 100% true. Like, if you come to my Instagram page, please do. You're not going to even notice probably in the first 5 minutes, 5 days, whatever, that I have a chronic illness. Like, it's not what it's all about. At all. I mean, I know there are these amazing chronic illness influencers out there that talk a lot about their illness and about their days and stuff. I talk about being a mom who has MS, or a lot of the times it's just about being a mom or being a person, a woman, like just being me, a human. I don't know. And there's definitely some funny memes to make you laugh, and me bitching about my children so you feel like you're not alone. And we have fun doing the stories, and yes, as you've touched on, there's a heart to it, but I'm also a sarcastic person, a smart ass, my whole family.
The Buried are sarcastic. It's a lot of fun to like follow along with though.
Now we have like a smart ass 9-year-old. So this is just, you know, it's how we thrive. But you know, I like sharing the family stuff. So when we even talked about stories earlier, I think it's nice to kind of see other families being a lot like you and seeing yourself in someone.
Yeah.
Just as a human, as a mom, and just, or even just someone who's having a bad freaking day or a great day. You know, you take the wins where you get them. And I think sometimes I try to blend a little inspiration with a lot of laughs. And I think that's what gets you through at this point. You got to laugh.
I know.
So much unbelievable crap happened.
I know. No, like over on my account, I like posted at the beginning of the year that every Saturday I'm going to do Support a Mom Saturday.
Mm.
And like the reason like that was born was I'm like, go through everybody that you're following. And if you are following somebody that makes you do like the comparison game, where you're like, oh man, my house isn't as perfect as hers, or my kids aren't dressed as pretty as hers, or this mom has it all together. Like, go through and unfollow all those people.
Yeah.
And only follow people that make you laugh, that inspire you, that motivate you, that serve you. You know what I mean?
1,000,000%.
And I just like get rid of all that other stuff, because it should be like this connecting space. And I love that that's like what so many accounts have done, including yours.
Well, and I, you know, you post you saying that. And like, I love that you do support a mom Saturday. She supported me this week with an article I wrote on MS and I was tickled. Thank you. And those accounts you're talking about, I mean, so because Dad and Buried has been doing this a while, I got a peek into other accounts at some point. And I have to tell you, like literally a year and a half ago, I was like, I didn't even follow anyone, mom accounts or whatever. Like I just didn't necessarily do it.
Yeah.
You know, I used social just to keep in touch with friends.
I was the same way.
You know, that's all I did. I followed my husband. That's right. So that's the part of Instagram or social or Facebook or whatever that I knew. And then we went on this like influencer event. I hate that term, but influencer event where I met a ton of these people. And it was actually a trip. And there were some of these huge accounts that, you know, I got to see them pose their children in these picture perfect dresses and these picture perfect things. And then the camera would end. And the kids would be a shit show. They'd literally be like naked, stripping through the streets, like covered in chocolate.
Yeah.
And like some of these people weren't showing that. And they were like losing their cool. Like they were doing what I'd be doing. I mean, no judgment on losing your cool. But say sometimes you lose your cool, right? But that's not at all what you will ever see on some of those accounts things.
Right.
That's amazing that they have a $1 million home that looks perfect all the time.
But it doesn't either. Their house does not look like that all the time. It only looks like that for the 5 seconds that you get to see it.
Yeah, exactly. And like their makeup is not always perfect. Their fake eyelashes aren't always on. I mean, right now we can see each other through this podcast and stuff. Yeah. And I'm actually impressed by Abby here because her toys are neatly arranged in the background.
I had to like clean this mess up. Otherwise, me sitting here in the toddler mess while I ship my toddlers off for the day would have drove me nuts.
Yeah. Well, I understand. Like, I love being in a neat house. No one in my house understands this. They're all men and they don't get it. They're like, what's it matter? And I'm like, like, I get anxious. Yeah. But right now, I'm actually not that anxious, despite the fact all Abby can see in the background is piles of clothes because we just got back from a trip.
I'm not judging you, Heather.
But the clothes are laundered. Look, Abby, they're laundered and folded. I mean, this is the best I can hope for. Like, and you know what? I will probably do a story on Instagram later about, I mean, this is a good mess. This is a great mess. Fantastic. I'll take it. There's worse.
My upstairs is a mess. That's why I already called my husband. And I'm like, I'm just not going to go upstairs today while like I'm home alone because I don't want to look at it and I'm not doing the mess upstairs.
Yeah, no. And I mean, I have to say Monday through Wednesday or Monday through Thursday, maybe Tuesday through Thursday. Yeah. Monday, I don't always. My house looks so nice. And then the people come here. That live here and they're here all
day. I don't know why they come here.
I don't know. They keep insisting on coming back to this place. They're driving me crazy, making messes with their childhood play and their imaginations. It's the worst.
I know it.
But well, Heather, I like seeing that side of things. So
I do too. I mean, I just feel like, you know, if you ever feel like a mom has it all together in her home and her life and her marriage and her parenting, you're only getting a very tiny glimpse and it is not the whole picture.
It's like that old adage, right? Like if it sounds too good to be true, you know, it is.
Yeah.
They're lying or hiding something.
It is hard. Motherhood is hard. Life is hard. It's all hard. Marriage is hard. It all takes a ton of work. And some days we don't have all the energy to pour in to give it all the work.
Absolutely not. And some days you just got to pour that energy into yourself to keep a little sane. So
yeah. Thank you. So that's okay too.
So much. It's so fun talking to you about this
and
actually connecting.
I know.
Because there is that, you know, obviously, if you're listening to Mimosas with Moms here, you know a little bit about the great support you can find out there. And hopefully you can find more and join me over on the Mom and Buried page. And maybe even Dad and Buried too. I mean, if you're feeling gracious, no pressure.
He's a great time as well. Go follow him too.
He'll definitely make you
following both of the Buried's. Yeah.
Oh my God. Dad and Buried will definitely make you feel better as a parent.
He definitely keeps it real, doesn't he?
He does, as we all try to do. So,
well, Heather, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for sharing a little bit about being a mom with MS with us and just motherhood in general. Thanks for keeping it real over on your page. And I hope everybody goes and finds you at Mom and Buried. And cheers to feeling well.
Yes, cheers. Got to get that mimosa now. I feel like there should be a mimosa for all of this. Thank you so much for having me. It was so great connecting. And I mean, seriously, round of applause to this girl who's like holding a newborn, an infant on her lap during this whole thing and killing it. So it's so fun. Thank you, Heather. So great. I'm so glad I know you. You're the best.
Did you enjoy this episode? Please be sure to leave a 5-star rating and review, and be sure to tell your friends. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook at Mimosas with Moms, and you can email me at the number 2mimosamoms@gmail.com.